You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 360.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've been busy doing things lately.
Awesome.
How about you?
Not doing anything,
no,
really.
That's okay.
Okay.
Let's just get started with our stupid show.
Okay.
Let's start with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
On April 4th, we can wish Natasha Lyonne a happy 40th birthday.
Natasha Lyonne, who we were just talking about?
Yeah.
Last week? I was making sure I had the right name.
Because we were talking about the slums of Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, and Orange is the New Black and Russian Doll, and we know her from a bunch of things, but we were just talking about her last week. I thought you had your notes all mixed up there for a second. Didn't we do her birthday last week? No, that was Alan Arkin's birthday.
Yeah.
Her Slums of Beverly Hills co-star.
Right.
But now, look at that. You came right back at me with Natasha's birthday.
A little bit of a fun coincidence. I can't even pretend that I planned that, but she's the lead on Russian is the New Black.
Russian is the New Black. A strange new hybrid show.
She's the lead right now on Russian Doll, Nadia. And she's also the co-creator and executive producer of that show. She's Nikki Nichols from Orange is the New Black. But you know what I know her from?
What do you know her from?
The 2005 movie Robots.
Robots.
She plays a receptionist robot in that movie.
Was that a cartoon?
Yes.
Okay, I barely remember it. And I love robots and I love cartoons, but I forgot that this movie even existed.
The plot line is hard for me to call to mind, but yeah. It had a really good soundtrack to it.
Mm.
It included, like, Fountains of Wayne, Tell Me What You Already Did. Yeah, she plays a bit role in that, and she probably is better known from the other things she's done.
So. I think I saw that movie. But I'm not sure.
Did I tell you about the time I saw that movie?
No.
That was a date. I went on a date to see that movie.
With a robot.
With a robot. And I lost my voice beforehand. And I thought, should I cancel the date? And then I realized it's a movie. We weren't going to talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I spent the time before and after the movie communicating by writing on paper. There wasn't another date after that.
You know what you got to do? Get yourself the magic slate. Remember that? Like that gray screen that you write on with the hunk of plastic and you just rip it up. You rip it up and it's blank again.
Yes.
Magic slate. I was discussing the magic slate recently because I haven't seen one in many years.
I have one of those now.
You've got a magic slate currently?
Yes, I do.
Do you use it a lot?
Wait, all right. So the magic slate in the olden days, you would flip the page up, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's this little bar that you zip across.
Oh, that's no fun.
You're right.
Yeah, that really doesn't count. You need a good old-fashioned cheapo magic slate is what I'm talking about. I've not seen one of those in a while.
Same. I bet we could find one, though.
Would you rather communicate by magic slate or by... Stay with me here. It's more effort, I grant you, but willy-willy. That's a lot of work. If you had to write out your messages on a willy-willy.
I would get so distracted if I had to write on a willy-willy.
I want to communicate by iron filings on top of a comical bald man's head.
Well, the thing is, I do. I mean, that sounds like a good time. And I think it might beat Magic Slate. What do you think?
Well, I feel like that would thin the herd as far as who was interested in what I had to say. The people that were going to stand around while I'm carefully navigating my willy-willy. And there was another thing. There was a cousin product to the willy-willy. But instead of the little tiny iron filings of willy-willy, it's like little ball bearings. It's little metal balls. And it's a grid.
Yeah.
It's a grid of little indentations that the balls fall into. And so you move each little tiny ball into place.
Magnetically.
With the magnet. Remember that thing?
I do.
Yeah? Did you use it?
Yes. Well, what's it called?
Doodle balls, I believe. I looked it up. It was not easy to find.
Yeah, because I don't remember it by name.
A lot of treacherous Googling.
That little stylus with the little magnet on the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing that you'd use for a willy-willy. That would also be difficult to use to communicate with. I still feel like people are going to go back to the magic slate.
Probably.
Because then you just write as opposed to dropping little tiny metal balls into place on a grid. I'm trying to remember, what does any of this have to do with Natasha Lyonne?
Absolutely nothing.
Like, did her grandfather invent Willy Willy or something?
Willy Willy Lyonne.
Is she the heiress to the Willy Willy fortune? She's got the hair for it. Can you imagine a Natasha Lyonne-themed Willy Willy?
Wow.
She's got a head of hair.
She does. Well, in honor of her 40th birthday, if that doesn't exist already, it should.
I don't know much about her. She seems very cool.
Yeah, well, she's been in a ton of movies. She was Jessica in American Pie. She's one of those people where if you saw all the things that she was involved in, you would be surprised.
I'm most surprised by her involvement with Willy Willy.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Most people don't know that.
I never would have guessed that her grandfather invented it. But I think that's what we've established here today.
So happy birthday, Natasha Lyonne.
Happy birthday, Natasha. Good job with your weird magnetic products for the kids.
Right.
All right. What do I have for you? Well, I went to a convention, you know, Northeast Comic Con. And it's been a couple of years, I think, since I've been to one of these. Not since they were in the mall.
They moved to an abandoned part of a mall, right?
Yeah, they were in, what was it? It was
a JCPenney.
It was an abandoned JCPenney at a mall. They put on a comics convention in for a couple of years. Now they've moved again. Now they're in a hotel in Boxborough, Massachusetts.
Hmm.
Do you know Boxborough?
Yes.
There's a town called Boxborough.
I always forget exactly where it is.
Yeah.
I think they move it around when I'm not looking.
They're moving Boxborough? They box it up?
I think...
You can tell by the name what an exciting town it is.
Not a town of thrills, necessarily.
Well, I decided to go back to Northeast Comic Con. Why not? And a couple of friends of mine said that they were going. And those friends did not show up.
Oh, no.
This was a trick.
I was abandoned
at Northeast Comic Con.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Everybody came to their senses except me. That's what happened. I did find a friend there, though. I found a few friends there. There were people there that I knew.
Okay.
But I found my friend Jessa there. You know Jessa from...
Yeah, Jessa.
From Dragon Con. And she came to Nikki's David Bowie show with us this past Thanksgiving. And I hadn't seen her since then. Just the day before Northeast Comic Con, I was thinking, why have I not seen Jessa since Thanksgiving? And I felt guilty about it. Then the next day, there she is. So I'm hanging out with Jessa all day. And a few friends of ours were lurking about. You know, the Rubber Chicken Comics guys are there, of course. Rubber Chicken, selling their comics. Matches Malone, you know, the Batman costumer.
Yes.
But me and Jess are goofing around all day. And we went to see a Q&A by one of the featured guests at Northeast Comic Con. Someone I've never seen at a convention or anywhere in my life before. And that's Gilbert Gottfried was there.
I forgot that Gilbert was going to be there.
They got Gilbert. We got Gilbert to Northeast Comic Con.
Wow.
So Jess and I went to see Gilbert speak, which was interesting. And
What did you learn?
For one thing, I don't think Gilbert was comfortable at this event. And that's just Gilbert.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know a little bit about him. I listened to his podcast. He does a wonderful podcast. I've seen his documentary. There's a documentary about his life. It's called Gilbert. My impression is he is rather shy and awkward, and just being like on display at a convention all weekend must be very awkward for Gilbert Gottfried.
Sure, that feels weird for everybody, but especially for people who are awkward by nature.
Yeah, and you think of Gilbert Gottfried, and he's the screaming maniac, you know, but that's...
Seems really extroverted. Yeah. That's his act.
Yeah, that's the act. That's him on performing. And once the Q&A got rolling, though, he was fine. He was very funny. I did meet him briefly that morning also. I said a quick hello. And fans of his podcast will know what I'm talking about when I said I asked Gilbert about Cesar Romero. You know, the Joker from the old Batman show, Cesar Romero. Gilbert has a bizarre story about Cesar Romero. And it's so bizarre that I'm not going to repeat it here on the show. But it's like a strange, like, Hollywood story or a rumor that he heard about Cesar Romero. He claims that he heard this somewhere.
Oh, wow.
And I've never heard it from anywhere else except Gilbert. And anytime he has a guest on the show who ever worked with Cesar Romero, he brings up this crazy story again. And nobody ever knows what he's talking about. Everybody's just thoroughly confused by this bizarre Cesar Romero story. It involves orange wedges. But I asked him about it. I said, Gilbert, did you really hear that somewhere? And he insisted that yes, he did. Now, he must get that a lot because during the Q&A, somebody actually went up to the front to ask a question and they asked the same thing I did. They were like, what's up with the Cesar Romero story? Did you really hear that somewhere? So he's sticking to his story, which is that he did not just invent it. But Gilbert is certainly, wherever it came from, he's the one keeping it alive. He's constantly asking people about Cesar Romero and orange wedges.
Wow.
But I like Gilbert.
I like him too.
Yeah?
I like him best when voiced by our friend, the great Luke Ski.
Luke Ski does a fantastic Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Yeah, he does.
He's really good. That's probably the best Gilbert impression I've heard. I've heard people try to do Gilbert, and a mistake that a lot of people make is they speak too quickly.
Yes. Because
Gilbert talks slow.
He draws out words.
Yeah.
Luke does it spot on. I like Gilbert, too. I think he's just... I like interesting people. He's definitely interesting.
Nice to see Gilbert, anyway. We watched the Gilbert Q&A, hoping to learn more about Cesar Romero, you know. We saw Mark Goddard do a Q&A also, Mark Goddard from Lost in Space. Another Mark, though, is a friend of mine, Mark Gallagher, local stand-up comedian Mark Gallagher. Also, not unlike Gilbert, very bizarre. But he was doing a thing at Northeast Comic Con. It was him and a bunch of his weird comedian friends doing a podcast. But it was a fake podcast. It was a podcast that doesn't really exist. The concept was everybody on the podcast were cast and crew from the 1990s Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oof.
They were all just pretending that they had worked on the Super Mario Brothers movie, and just, it was an hour of bizarre improv.
That is something that you don't hear about every day.
I liked it. There was one of these conventions a couple of years ago Dean Cain was at, who was Superman on Lois and Clark, you know, Dean Cain. Mm-hmm. He was a guest at it. At that convention, Mark was doing a fake podcast performance, pretending that it was a Dean Cain fan podcast. And evidently Dean Cain walked into the room and saw them doing it and could not quite figure out what was going on. So that was good. But, you know, they do a nighttime concert at these things. You've been to these wacky nighttime concerts at Northeast Comic Con. And I left and then I came back. So I know you like Tsunami of Sound. Remember those, those surf rock guys? I totally missed them. They were there, but I was not. They were already gone by the time I got back. So I missed Tsunami of Sound, our local surf rock band. But then this band came out next called Guello.
I don't know them.
It's sort of a mashup of Guar and Green Jello.
Oh, wow.
And apparently members of Green Jello are in this band, are in Guello. But they're wearing big crazy costumes like Guar. It was cool. They sounded good. There were people playing the instruments and singing, and then people would come out just in other costumes just to fight. Like, these battles were happening.
I love shows like that.
Down in front of the stage. Like kaiju, you know, monster kind of battles. It was very, very strange. Guello.
That does draw a parallel to the Aquabat shows that I love so much. Those have battles with big crazy costumes in them as well. So.
Yeah, all right. You've seen this kind of thing then.
And I like it.
And then the show was headlined by a legendary Boston band who I've seen only once before. And that's The Fools. Were there.
You got to see The Fools.
I saw The Fools, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, a long time ago, when the V66 movie was still in production. They did a fundraiser concert to make the documentary about V66, you know, Boston's music video channel back in the 80s. So I went to this concert they did, and they had a bunch of old Boston bands from the 80s at this show, including The Fools, and I'd never seen them before. And I knew The Fools as kind of like a goofy novelty band. They were best known for the novelty stuff.
Yes.
And Dr. Demento plays their stuff sometimes, but even regular radio is playing The Fools as well.
Particularly our local radio stations.
Sure.
Those guys are from around here.
Yeah, yeah. And Psycho Chicken.
Oh, yes. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
I believe was their first big hit, I think. Their Talking Heads parody, Psycho Chicken, which of course is of interest to us.
Favorite of mine all through junior high.
Which they did play at Northeast Comic Con. I think the show ended with some Psycho Chicken. But what I didn't realize is they have another chicken song.
What?
They did another song called Hen House.
Oh.
Yeah, like a blues song called Hen House. And that was really good too.
Neat.
But what I learned at that V66 show is The Fools, even though you think of them as a novelty band, they're a great live band.
Yeah, they are.
Way better than they have any right to be.
Yes.
Just for as goofy as they are, they're a great, great band.
They are fantastic.
So The Fools, nice to see them again. They've been doing that for 40 years. They've been around a long time, you know.
That's insane.
Isn't it? The Fools. All right, so I guess I didn't have much from Northeast Comic Con, but that concludes my Northeast Comic Con report. Live from Boxborough.
Well, that's more than I knew about it before I talked to you. So.
That's what I did when my friends abandoned me at Northeast Comic Con.
Well, I'm glad you got your Gilbert.
Saw Gilbert, finally.
Yes.
The mystery of Cesar Romero continues. I've got one more thing that I did the other day, but before I get to that, though, you wanted to do some Capes or Apes.
That That's what I'm hoping for.
Maybe we should jump into Capes or Apes, the stupid new segment that I've been desperately trying to launch here on the show. And we've done it four times?
Yes.
Something like that.
Approximately.
It's a huge disaster every time. We're going to discuss either Capes or Apes. So I have a story prepared involving comic books or superheroes. That'd be Capes. I have a story involving monkeys or apes. That'd be Apes. Right. We have to randomly determine which way we're going to go, Capes or Apes. And you've been threatening to come up with a new system that we can use to determine Capes or Apes. And we haven't actually launched it yet. But I think that's happening tonight because I seem to see that you brought with you a lobster bucket.
A lobster bucket.
So it's a white metal little bucket with a picture of a lobster on it.
A little pail.
It's adorable.
And it's going to have these pieces of paper inside.
Oh, you've got a bunch of pieces of paper in there.
There now, are...
I would think that we'd only need two. What?
There are 12.
What's written on the other 97 pieces of paper you have in there? You have 12 pieces of paper in there?
There's a dozen.
Okay.
What these are, Kevin,
yeah,
is a dozen cupcakes.
Okay.
A dozen cupcakes for Capes or Apes.
Okay.
So there's six A's and there's six C's. So your job
so confused.
Is to reach into the lobster bucket.
I'm going to draw a piece of paper out of this bucket. I don't understand.
Pull out a cupcake.
The cupcake angle, I'm not quite understanding it, but I have selected a piece of paper. I've taken it out. Okay. It's a little cupcake-shaped piece of paper with a big capital C on it, right?
Which means Capes.
We're doing Capes. Okay.
Capes or Apes cupcakes.
I think we did Capes last time. My ape story has been on reserve for quite a while now.
But I promised lobsters would be involved somehow. So
yes.
It's a lobster bucket full of Capes or Apes cupcakes.
All right.
Just for reference.
You're proving to me that some of them just pulled out an A cupcake from the bucket as scientific proof that I could have theoretically chosen an ape. Did I look like I was suspecting that you were... throwing this thing and it was all Capes in there? Was I eyeballing you suspiciously and then you felt like you had to prove to me that no, there's some ape cupcakes in here too? All right, so we're doing Capes and I do have something. Actually, this ties in with what I was just talking about with Northeast Comic Con.
Cool.
As you know, I'm a vendor's worst nightmare at these conventions because there's all those, you know, the giant dealer's rooms at all these nerd conventions we go to, and it's all these people peddling their wares, you know, selling comics and toys and collectible junk and whatnot, and I never buy anything. I bought a comic book at Northeast Comic Con. I bought one comic book for $1, and here it is. This is Spider-Woman. Did you know there was a Spider-Woman?
No, I am now completely confused.
This is Spider-Woman number 49 from 1983, I think. It's Marvel Comics, you know, that do Spider-Man. In the late 70s, I think it suddenly occurred to them that they should make a Spider-Woman comic before somebody else does.
Right.
They thought, let's claim that name. And that's Spider-Woman on the cover here in this lovely red and yellow costume. And she got her own Saturday morning cartoon, like immediately. They gave her a comic book, and there was a Spider-Woman cartoon on Saturday mornings.
How long did that last?
Not long, a year or two, I guess. It was good. It's a good show. I don't think it's available officially. It's a cool cartoon, though, from the late 70s, I believe, Spider-Woman. Here's issue number 49. This is, I believe, the penultimate issue of Spider-Woman. The series ran 50 issues, and then they stopped. This one, as you can see, it's called The Trouble with Tigra.
Tigra's got a head of hair like Natasha Lyonne.
It looks like Natasha Lyonne has turned into a tiger woman. It's a woman with, like, tiger stripes, and she's in a bikini, and she has Natasha's hair, and she's attacking Spider-Woman. I don't know much about Tigra. I've seen Tigra before. This is a recurring Marvel Comics character. But, yeah, there
she's
you go.
Got some anger issues.
It's a tiger girl in a bikini right there on the cover. You know, they're trying to sell comics.
Being angry.
There's an ad for Cracker Jacks on the inside cover.
Love it.
Were you a fan of Cracker Jacks?
I was. Like, there was a brief period of time in my life where everything sweet was my favorite food. And so I enjoyed Cracker Jack. And then I realized there were far better things to eat.
Yeah, the thing about Cracker Jacks, or Cracker Jack, technically, it's just singular, right? It's Cracker Jack.
Right. People call it Cracker Jacks, but it is just Cracker Jack.
Yeah, it should just be Cracker Jack. My mistake. I think the secret about Cracker Jack is that it's lousy.
Yeah.
The peanuts are good. You always just hope. I hope there's a peanut in this next mouthful.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've had enough of this lousy popcorn. It was all popped in like 1921.
Right.
You know, it's just been sitting there in the Cracker Jack warehouse ever since.
To this day.
I'm just flipping right past the Spider-Woman story, because who cares? We're looking for the ads. There you go, Bubble Yum.
Bubble Yum!
There's a kid at the counter ordering his Bubble Yum. That's exciting. You were a fan of Bubble Yum, as I recall.
Yes.
If you had to go, Cracker Jack or Bubble Yum?
Bubble Yum, 100%.
Okay. No prize in Bubble Yum. There's an ad for Blip. Blip was a magazine, like a little comic book-sized magazine about video games that Marvel Comics published for a while back then. I think they only made 5 or 6 issues of it.
That's a shame, because it sounds really cool.
It is cool. I have a handful of issues of Blip. I think the first issue had Matthew Laborto, the star of Whiz Kids, was on the cover. There you go. Look at that. There's a comics convention happening in Boston, March 5th and 6th of 1983, I assume.
Wow.
We should go. Want to go? I know where this is. 57 Park Plaza, 200 Stewart Street, Boston. They had conventions at that same location for many, many years. I went to conventions at that same place. Not in 83. I wasn't at this one. A few years later. I think 5 years later. I think it might have been 88 was the first time I went to that building for a comics convention.
It's cool to know that comics conventions in Boston go back that far.
Oh, sure. I think Stan Lee was there the first time I walked in there. Here's Grit, of course. America's Family Newspaper, Grit. I've never seen an actual issue of Grit, but they ran these ads forever in the old comics.
We don't know what happened to the kids that were selling it.
Those kids are gone.
Mm-hmm. They're locked away in a warehouse with some Cracker Jack.
There's Tigra. They deliver on what the cover promised. It's page after page of Spider-Woman fighting the bikini tiger girl Tigra. It looks like Tigra and Spider-Woman have become friends by the end of the comic. They seem to have come to some kind of an understanding here on the last page.
They appear to be done beating each other up.
Yes.
Is that an Atari?
That's an Atari 2600. This is an ad for M Network football for the Atari, which I had. That was a pretty good game. You couldn't punt. I remember that being a problem in this game. There was no way to punt the football. Other than that, pretty solid for, you know, for an Atari 2600 game.
Was there more than one version of football you could play on
there
Atari?
Yes, there were several. Like, the original Atari football is really stupid. I mean, I like it still, but the original Atari football was so lame that then this other company, well, this is Mattel, I guess, made M Network to try to offer a superior version of football. And then Atari came back with their own, which they called Real Sports Football. Because then it was like, okay, we figured out how to make a good football game now. So there were at least three.
I think I had the original one.
Yeah, the original one was very goofy.
Yes.
And there's another video game on the back cover. That's a Reactor. It's a game about a nuclear reactor. They made a game for the kids out of a nuclear reactor.
That's distressing.
It says, inside reactor, you fry neutrinos. Bounce positron clusters, knock out control rods, shrink the reactor core. I had this.
Loads of fun playing with reactors.
Yes, the kids get to pretend they're inside a nuclear reactor. That's what the 80s was like.
Ever been inside a nuclear reactor?
I didn't have to go inside because I had this cartridge.
Okay.
It was like I was inside. Look at this art, though, this cartoon on the back cover. I recognized right away. That's Jack Davis. You can see there's his signature there. The great Jack Davis from Mad Magazine, from all the movie posters and advertising back then. One of our great cartoonists, Jack Davis. Not a great game, as I recall.
No.
I love the ad, though. Well, that's Spider-Woman number 49. That's what I bought for $1 at Northeast Comic-Con.
And that's Capes?
That is what I have for Capes. If you had to rate this, it's time for you now to judge my Capes or Apes segment. Any rating system you want to use.
Can I rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 Cracker Jack toys?
Yes, absolutely. I would not rate this very highly if I were the judge, but you're the judge.
Well, it's not getting any more than 3 Cracker Jack toys.
See, that sounds generous to me.
Yeah.
I'd go lower. I'm not trying to influence the judge.
Right. Well, the thing is, I do like the art. Mm-hmm. So there's some credit is due.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything else going on other than a girl fight.
Right.
And
now, in defense of the writer, we did not read the story. Maybe it's a great story.
Right.
I don't know. We didn't read it. We were just flipping through it, looking at the pictures.
Right.
Of the girl fight.
There's also an ad for Grit in that magazine.
Yep.
So I'm going to go 2 yep. Cracker Jack toys.
You got Grit. You got Bubble Yum.
Well, that's why you get some points. There's Bubble Yum.
Good ads. All right, so your final judgment is?
2 Cracker Jack toys.
All right, we'll take it. That is Capes or Apes. As usual, it was stupid. I have one more thing for you.
Okay.
Last week, the mayor and I went to see an old friend of ours who was performing And that's Sean Fullerton. You know Sean?
I do, from The Basics, right?
From The Basics, yes. Sean and his brother Adam were The Basics. And this was a band that played at my old open mic night back in the 90s. They were regular performers there. And Sean has been very active as a solo performer ever since. Hadn't seen him in a while, so it's good to see Sean. Here's the thing about me and Sean. Do you remember my band?
Well, I know your band, Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Yeah, I have band Sponge Awareness Foundation, and then I have another band. Not as well known as Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Are we talking about God's Comics?
Yes, we're talking about God's Comics. Yeah, that's my obscure band compared to Sponge Awareness Foundation. The internationally well-known, legendary band Sponge Awareness Foundation that everybody knows. Sure, that's my mainstream sellout band. Then I have my little cool, off-to-the-side, lesser-known band, God's Comics. But this was something Sean and I started doing. We were both big fans of Elvis Costello and also of Men at Work. And we just started performing Elvis Costello and Men at Work songs, and we made a whole show out of it. We called ourselves God's Comics, which was named after an Elvis Costello song.
I always wondered.
Now you know. There's an Elvis song called God's Comic. So we were God's Comics. And we did a whole show in 1999. There was one night where we put on a full 2-hour-long God's Comics show. And it was me and Sean and Adam and Holly. We had a girl, Holly, was in the band with us that night. Just all Elvis Costello and Men at Work songs. And that was God's Comics. That was 1999. 10 years later, the year 2009, we did our God's Comics reunion show.
10 years later.
Yeah. And even back in 1999, we announced we shall perform again in 10 years. We actually said that in 1999. And we did. A decade later.
You delivered.
The year 2009, we did a second God's Comics show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cornflake, here we are. If you look at the old calendar...
It's 2019.
The year is 2019. It's been another 10 years.
And the world is clamoring.
In keeping with our frantic touring schedule with the band, we're due for a show from God's Comics.
Oh.
You got to do a show this year.
Yep.
You got to stay on schedule. We can't start slacking off. We got to, you know, keep this momentum going.
Exactly.
We're on a roll.
Wow.
Well, Cornflake, things came together quickly because I have an announcement to make.
Oh.
Right now. Get ready for this, Cornflake.
Okay.
Saturday, May 25th.
So soon.
The venue is called The Hearing Room. This is in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Oh, the mean streets of Lowell, huh?
Which is special to me because God's Comics never performed in Lowell. Of all the 2 times that we played, none of those shows were in Lowell. But Lowell was like the home of Sponge Awareness Foundation, my other
right.
band, obviously. We recorded and performed in Lowell all the time back in the day. So that's a special town for me musically. But this is Saturday, May 25th, 2019. So that's, you know, 2 months away at a place called The Hearing Room in Lowell. God's Comics, show number 3.
Whoa!
This is happening. There's a Flopcast exclusive. We're announcing that right now for the first time.
Unreal.
I have another show coming up.
My goodness.
Yeah. It's very exciting that we're able to keep on pace as a band.
We are
committed to this project.
Yeah, I'll say.
So this is happening. Anybody in the area, if you can get yourself to Lowell, Massachusetts, May 25th, come on down and see my really weird little cover band. We're doing Elvis Costello. We're doing Men at Work. Maybe some Colin Hay solo stuff as well. We'll see. We have not worked out the set list yet. Maybe some other stuff, too, beyond Men at Work and Elvis, but we'll see. It's going to be mostly Elvis Costello and Men at Work.
Have you met Colin Hay?
Yes.
Did you tell him that this is a thing?
Yes.
What was his reaction?
Sean and I met Colin together once or twice, and he seemed vaguely amused by us.
Wonderful.
As most people do. I think
yes.
That's, in general, that's the reaction we get from critics. They find us vaguely amusing.
This is the reaction I'm always going for.
Yeah. Yeah, most people, when they see God's Comics, they think, you know, maybe in about 10 years, I'll go see these guys again.
Yeah.
That's usually what we get.
So you wait for the demand to build up.
Yeah, yeah. We're trying to get a buzz going, you know?
Quite the marketing strategy.
Yes, thank you. Everything's going according to plan.
Wow.
It's all happening for us, for God's Comics. We'll be plugging this for the next couple of months, I think.
Of course.
And hopefully people can come join us in Lowell May 25th. But that's a ways off. Meanwhile, Cornflake, get us out of here.
Okay. Well, come to flopcast.net, won't you? That's our home on the internet. And engage with us at facebook.com/flopcast. Find us on Twitter, where our handle is at flopcast. And you can even look at us on Instagram. Our handle there is the_flopcast.
Yes, Cornflake, thanks for joining me once again here in Chicken Town. And on behalf of Natasha Lyonne and her grandfather, the late, great Willie Willie, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for the news about God's comics. Peace and cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we have a sneaking suspicion that you don't actually listen to these promos.
So we're not going to make you listen to one. Bye!
Brought to you by the Watchathon of Rassilon, a podcast where Joe and Tony watch all of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Available on the ESO Network or wherever else you get podcasts from.
But honestly, where else would you go?
WatcherRassilon.com?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Hello, Cornflake.
Hi.
Welcome to the secret Flopcast after show. Nobody knows what's happening now. What you got?
Were you really... What did you make of the cupcakes?
You have the bucket out from Capes or Apes, your
yes.
little lobster bucket full of slips of paper, cupcake-shaped slips of paper. I'm a little freaked out by the cupcakes. I'm thinking maybe we should mix it up, like have other things in the bucket each time we do this.
Do you trust me to put other things in the bucket?
It can just be two things. You don't need to go to a lot of trouble every time.
Okay.
You know?
Put other things in the bucket.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Nothing like slimy and disgusting, because I'm supposed to reach in there.
Well, that... know? Rules out, like, the first 10 things that I thought
Sounds
of.
Like a Halloween party where you freak out the children. Yeah, maybe mix it up. Just have, like, other weird items that will determine Capes or Apes in future editions.
I could do that.
All right.
What am I supposed to do with all these cupcakes?
They can be part of a complete nutritious breakfast.
That sounds good, I guess.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.